You're listening to The Sports Rabbi, hosted by Josh Halichman.
We're back with the Sports Rabbi, Josh Halichman. Welcome aboard to the Sports Rabbi Show, where we bring you the best of Israeli sports, all the way up to Nahariya, down south to Elat, and all the great cities in between, Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and many, many more. And if you like this podcast, and I know that you do, make sure you subscribe to us. Leave us a five-star rating, write us a nice review. Check us out, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, of course, at the Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com. For the latest and greatest news, both in English and Hebrew, we deliver it to you in both languages. And of course, you want to join the WhatsApp group in Hebrew, you want to check that out. We have all kinds of articles, game previews, the works on the website. We're going to be going heavy into the Israel national soccer team. Of course, their campaign for the 2024 European Championships has come to yet another disappointing end. They will have the One Last Chance Saloon in March, and we'll get to that. We'll talk all about Roy Jankulovic's trip that he took to Hungary for the two quote-unquote home games that Israel had. They also played, of course, in Kosovo and in Andorra. We'll wrap that all up, and plus we'll give you the latest with the other news in Israeli soccer action. Roy, Israel sport, how you doing today? What's going on, baby?
I'm good. How are you? Glad to be back in Israel.
All right, so let's just get right into it. How was your trip to Hungary? You got to see the blue and white on the road at home in a city just outside of Budapest, about 45 minutes, called, I think, Felsut, if I got that
yes,
correct.
Yes, exactly, Felsut. Yep.
Felsut, there you go. You got to see Israel play Switzerland, a 1-1 draw, and then Israel played Romania to a 2-1 defeat in a stadium that had about a little over 2,000 the first game, close to 3,000 the second game. So talk about the trip, and then we'll get into all the serious professional things that we have to talk about. So let's hear from your point of view. What was it like traveling with all the Israel media, with all the Israeli fans that left Israel and went to Hungary to see the national team play? What was it like in Budapest? I know that you visited the synagogues. You were in the Jewish community there. What's it like to be there for this event, as we know that there's a war going on here in the Holy Land?
Well, very moving events. We had the main event, we could say, in the synagogue, the Rembrandt, Raumbach Synagogue, not the Duani Synagogue, the Raumbach Synagogue. There was an event there held by the World Jewish Congress. Shino Zuaret spoke there. So did Moran Meiri and Ishtvan Shaloi, Beitar legend. So it was moving. The whole week was very moving. The most moving point, forget the football, was all Israeli national team players getting to meet children from the south who were displaced. Some of them, their families are held hostage now in Gaza. And you could see how these kids were so happy to see the players. Of course, Eran Ze'avi was number one in selfies, autographs, everything. Daniel Peretz was number two, to show how he's risen in his fame to Noah Kirel level. Well, and she wasn't there with us, but she was there a night before at an event for other children from the Otef. And this event was held in part of the Pancho Arena complex. So I'll explain a bit about Pancho Arena. Is a whole sporting complex located 45 kilometers west of Budapest, where you have a football stadium, a hotel, and also a basketball arena, a multi-purpose arena, which can be also used for basketball, indoor soccer, volleyball, handball, everything. State-of-the-art facility. And over here, the Israel national team got to meet all these kids on MD-1, which was Friday, before the Romania game. So they had a different kind of preparation.
How many kids?
I do not think
how
this had any bad effect.
How many kids were there?
How many kids were there? Wow. I would say two buses. So
that's over 100 kids.
Yeah, over 100 kids plus adults who are
chaperoning them.
Exactly, chaperoning them and people from their kibbutzim or cities. So everybody was really excited. And for us, it was like a media day. Why is that? Because we could talk to anybody who we wanted to, which is something we as media are not used to. So we just had to pick who we want to talk to, which was amazing. And everybody was happy to talk. So that was a very nice event. And the kudos to the Football Association that they gave us this opportunity. And to let you know how this was last minute, it was announced at midnight the night before. Come to the place at 10:30 a.m. So that's how last minute-ish it was. And they gave us the wrong location, but then we knew the right one. But that's, of course, due to security preparations. And the security was really tight, meaning nobody was allowed in if he's not from the Israeli media. And lots of local Hungarian security forces, all armed. They did their utmost to keep the national team and all the kids and the media to keep us safe. And they deserve a 10 out of 10 for the way they handled everything.
That's good to hear. So let me ask you a little bit more about the event with the children. What ages were these kids?
Okay, I would say the youngest, maybe 6. Mm-hmm. And the oldest, you go into their teens, 16, 17.
Okay, so
boys and girls, and some of them were a bit clueless in sports. So we were there to help them and tell them who's who. Because I, for example, remember one girl asked me, "Who's Dean David over here?" I somebody told me to go get an autograph or take a photo with him. So then I showed her, "That's Dean David." So, for example, that's part of the what we did there. And Alon Chazan was there, Yossi Benayoun. Everybody spoke to us. Shlomi Barzel was in charge because Eitan had a half day off because it was difficult for the media managers to handle this 1 week. It's lots of events. You have to handle all the players. You have a squad which is much bigger than the normal Israeli squad. And then you have all these outdoor events, I would call them, out of football. Like the night before, we had the event at the Raumbach Synagogue. So to see how intensive this week was. Every day, we had something. There were no days off for the media.
Wow. So, of course, we're here with Roy Jankelevich, Israel Sport, coming just back from Hungary with the Israel national team. Now, the event itself, you were saying, you know, there were children there who lost parents. Did any of the children speak? Did you identify who was or what was, you know, that? Did you get to hear some of the stories at all? What was the, you know, what was that about? You know, I don't know if you can elaborate a little bit.
Okay, one mother spoke. I forgot exactly from which kibbutz she was, but she explained how her family was one of the only ones to be untouched in the terror attack. In the synagogue, there was a very moving speech from a survivor of Kfar Aza. Also, I think her name is Iris Biton, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And she explained to us how she and her whole family, her husband and the 3 children, they hid in the shelter for 12 hours. They only left the shelters at 2 a.m. the following day. They knew on the night between the 7th and the 8th of October. The army told them that they're free at about 5 p.m., but they told them it's not yet safe for them to leave. So they stayed in the shelter then, and they explained how each time they heard the terrorists above them, and the terrorists knew they were in that room, in the safe room, but luckily for them, they did not burn their house. Mm-hmm. So their house was one of the only ones to be untouched, and the whole family came out alive. And she was telling the story to the Jewish community in Hungary and all the dignitaries who were there.
Now, talk a little bit about the media contingent. There were a lot of media people, television, written press, print, websites. What was that like to be traveling with such a large group and much larger than, say, there's always a lot of media that travels, but this was must have been an extra large group.
Yeah, it reminded me a little of traveling with the under 21 in the summer to Georgia, reaching the latter stages, the semifinals in Batumi. It was a similar amount that we were many, but in Batumi we were still fewer than we were now in Budapest. So it's different, but it's fun. The moment you have lots of media, you get to hang around with them. You have your friends, the people you are with. So you could say everybody was united, was having fun, and we were trying to enjoy the best in these tough times and support the national team. There were no hard questions, except for the Sean Weissman incident,
right?
Which we'll get to talk about. Alon Chazan said something very smart in the press conference. He explained that the suspension was due to the fact that he made the act he did was something which is bad for the young players. They're supposed to learn from the older players what to do and what not to do, and therefore this was a punishment.
But the IFA used that picture on their front cover of him shushing the bench.
Yeah, but that's when they don't talk, you know. Oh yeah, when one person doesn't know what the other's doing. Oh yeah, I saw that.
We'll get to that in a few minutes. A few other questions about the event. The hotel you were staying at, were there any other Israeli media? Were you close to other people? What was that? You know, did you feel safe walking around? Did you feel at any time that you were, you know, that you were in trouble or threatened at all?
I never felt threatened. I was walking distance from the others. I could walk to the hotel where Sport 5 and Yisrael Hayom were staying. I could walk also to the hotel where my friend Udi Tzitiat was staying. Mm-hmm. So no fear at all.
All right, good. So let's now get down to the serious business here of the games itself, really. Israel comes into these four games with a chance to qualify directly by finishing in one of the two first places in Group I for the European Championships 2024 to be played this coming summer in Germany. They go to Kosovo. That game ends 1-0 on a brutal pitch, but it was a bad pitch for both teams, so we understand that. Then they play their first home game in Felschut. They draw with Switzerland 1-1, where Sean Weissman basically scores an 88th, 89th minute goal to send them still with a chance to still directly qualify. So that was a key goal. Switzerland has been, you know, destroyed in the media. Their coach is, you know, being questioned if he should be continued. Switzerland did not look good from the games that they played. Then Israel plays Romania. We know that Sean Weissman is suspended for inappropriate language that he used towards the professional staff. He apologized, but they felt that it was right to suspend him. Israel loses 2-1 to Romania, and that knocks them out of contention. And then they go to Andorra with a totally makeshift lineup, and they win 2-0 in Andorra in horrible weather. Absolutely brutal, brutal, driving rain and freezing cold temperatures. And that was that. I mean, Israel, it was a disappointing campaign, considering that they could have qualified directly. They have to now play in the playoffs, and we know that they're going to either play Ukraine or Iceland. So obviously, Ukraine would be very, very tough. If they make it past that
impossible.
Game, yeah. If they make it past that game, then we know that Israel will play either, I believe, Ukraine, Finland, or Bosnia, if I remember correctly, as to how it all shapes out. But listen, all in all, Roy, this campaign was a disaster under Alon Chazan and Yossi Benayoun. Take away even the fact that the war happened, they had to play the four games. They managed the campaign poorly from the get-go. Everything that was done in this campaign to not qualify was accomplished. And what, oh, yeah. by that I mean number one, Eran Zahavi. The fact that he had to parachute in for these last, you know, three or four games.
With a war as an excuse to bring him back.
Right. The fact that he did not play in the six games and that, you know, primarily
that cost us.
Let's call it. We had trouble scoring.
Think of it. We were missing 3 points. Two of them were against Kosovo at home because we only drew one all. Imagine Zavi would have played.
The terror. I mean, so you know, Alon Chazan and Yossi Benayoun, and we'll remind everybody and the listeners that they did not want to grant Yossi Benayoun a single room for Eran Zahavi. They did not want to grant a single room prior to the night prior to the games. Eran wanted a single room, which was what he was always getting beforehand, especially under Willy Rutenstar and Andy Herzog. And then he basically stepped away from the national team because Yossi Benayoun and Alon Chazan didn't want to budge. And this story literally was day and night for 6, 7, 8 months. I mean, it was ridiculous that they had to deal with this nonsense. Then the Sean Weissman, and they can say that they did the right thing till the cows come home. If you want to try to qualify, I understand why they benched him and why they didn't even keep him in the squad. But you know, you basically are cutting off your nose to spite your face when you need scoring, and he's one of the only players that at least scored a huge goal and can score. You cannot go into the Romania game without Sean Weissman on the bench. You just can't. We're starting. You can't do it. I don't care what the situation is. He apologized. He said sorry. Let bygones be bygones and move on. Don't, you know, well, then you take him to Andorra. It's like a punishment that he had to go play in Andorra. I mean, you know, all these off the pitch controversies and petty politics. That's what it was, Roey. It was petty politics. It was petty politics. And instead of qualifying directly, which we had a great chance to do, I mean, they had a group. It was delivered to them on a silver platter, okay? Even with these four games having to be played because of the war altogether, even with those four games, it was handed to them on a silver platter. They could have already been in pole position to qualify. Switzerland is not the Switzerland we've seen in the last few years, even though they've qualified, I think, for 8 straight major tournaments or some kind of crazy number like that. Romania is not a great team. Kosovo is a team that you should be beating. You should take maximum points from those games, and Belarus and Andorra as well. Roey, thoughts before we go into? Oh, you know what? I want to hear from you a little bit, and then we'll go into some of these games where they just, you know, totally are inexcusable losing points on.
Well, I tend to agree with you, but we both know Yossi Benayoun. And the ego is something which plays a huge part over here.
It's amazing.
The same reason that Eran Zahavi was not in the national team is why Sean Weissman, again, because of personal insults, you could say. And it cost us direct qualification. And I don't think we'll have such an opportunity in the near future to have such an easy group. But we say that so often. Remember Luis Fernandez's campaign with the Greece game on a Friday afternoon and all of that. We've had so many campaigns like these. I saw yesterday Uzi Dan, my colleague from Haaretz, put out the list of all the qualification campaigns for the Euro since Israel has been in Europe. And you see, so often we finish third and we're so close, but so far. So it's more in the IFA that maybe they need to choose better coaches and technical directors. I think the Austrians were really good. If they would have given them a chance to continue, but of course, Willy didn't give Andy a chance to continue. That's another story. So you have to find the right path because we have now such good players. We saw how these guys from the under 20 and under 21 continued into the A team, and they're really good. Dortmund, in my opinion, was one of the best players in those two games in Hungary, if not the best. It seems like, I don't know how much it was covered. I know how much it was covered on Sport 5, but I don't know how much others gave attention to Dor Tudjman. Not only did he do attacking work, he did defensive work. If I'm the coach of Maccabi Tel Aviv, if he's not playing in the starting 11, then the coach of Maccabi Tel Aviv shouldn't coach them.
Right. I know. He was terrific. And we'll go in. I think we're going to go into those. And then Halaili, I mean, greats. I mean,
yeah, they were just fantastic. Halaili is someone who we know, and he's given a chance in Maccabi Haifa.
Yeah.
He's given much more of a chance than Dor Tudjman is given at Maccabi Tel Aviv.
No, for sure. Let's quickly go through the games, the 10 games, and then we're going to go into some of the highlights, lowlights, where, you know, where we can see things going on after that. And then, of course, the playoffs. The first game, they open up 1-1 draw against Kosovo. Inexcusable. You can't drop point. If you're serious.
A must win.
It's a must win against a lower ranked team at home. You got to win at home and draw on the road. So they already were two in the hole. Then a 3-0 defeat at Switzerland.
No surprise.
No surprise there. Then they eke out a win against Belarus in Belarus. Not an easy place to play, but they squeak by. Okay. They squeak by Andorra at home, but they got the points. Okay.
Yeah, still, that's what matters.
Still not impressive, but they got the points. Okay. So, you know, really, you've already lost 2 points. The Switzerland, the best they're going to do on the road is probably draw with them. Then another inexcusable game, the one against Romania, away 1-1 draw.
We should have won.
That should have been a win. That should have been a win. Then the next game, a few days later, against Belarus in Bloomfield, a game that we were at. It was painful. Okay, we had to wait till Gabi Kanikowski scored there at the death. We were literally on Spilkas watching what was going on in this game. It shouldn't be it just shouldn't have been. They should have easily had them, and they got the points. Okay, but already over here, you've lost now 4 points before the war already.
So, exactly.
And if you would have had at least 2 of those points, and not just 2 of those points, the fact that you would have had Zahavi already at least playing in the system, right? You would have had Zahavi playing with some of the new players.
Yeah.
He hadn't played with some of the newer players. I mean, like, my goodness. Use a little bit. Then you go to the Kosovo. I'm not going to hold it against them. It was terrible for both teams.
But terrible choice of lineup.
Yeah, awful. Gadi Kinda had no business being in that lineup.
Because Gadi Kinda is a technical player. We saw what a good game he had yesterday.
Excellent player. Excellent player.
Passing everything.
Excellent player. I have no complaints.
He needs a pitch.
Right, and he needs a pitch. So that game was a disaster. The game against Switzerland, let's be honest, Israel dominated that game. They should have won the game. They should have won the game.
The first half.
Yeah. Okay,
Glazer had huge saves. Israel could have been down.
Yes, they could have been down, but they could have also
But I think that the draw is the okay result. Okay. And don't forget the officiating. There was a far moment which should have been a penalty.
Should have been a penalty. But they made sure not to. But
if you look at the points, once again, Israel lost these points not against Switzerland.
Well, of course, they lost the 4 points that they lost in
Romania,
the other game.
They lost the points for not having Iran Zahavi. That's it.
And then the Romania game. Listen, Israel against Romania. I mean, again, that's a game that they should win.
But Israel was outclassed.
They were 100%. I said normally that's a game they should that they should win. And again, I'm not saying war or no war. Again, they also would have been in a different situation. You know, Zahavi needed to be there for the whole campaign. Let's just be honest.
Yep.
You know, that's where it comes down to.
Exactly.
We're on here with Roy Chankalovich, Israel Sport, wrapping up the Israel national team campaign. Some of the highlights of the campaign, it's clear that Anan Halaili is a fabulous player. A good man. I mean, I got to give him tons of credit. You know, he came out right away when the war started defending Israel. He was one of the young stars for the Israel national team, Israeli Arab. He's done everything right from every which way as a professional, professional on the pitch and off of the pitch, Roy. He thoroughly impresses me.
Yeah, and he has a really, really bright future.
Did you get to speak to him at all at that event?
No, he didn't talk post-match.
No,
he just spoke to Sport 5 yesterday.
But was he at the event with the...
Oh, everybody was. Ramzi was. He was. But of course, the Israeli kids, they don't exactly run to the Arab players.
Right. Okay. That's funny. And also, he's a younger player. It's not... no media was doing small talk with him at all?
Not so.
Okay. Well, I think he's just impressed him. And you saw him over the summer also. I mean, he's an impressive player.
Yeah. Is Idan Jono at Tokolmati. Let's not forget him. Speaking of youngsters, but he doesn't have the finesse that Anan Khalili has.
No, of course not. Avishai Cohen looked okay.
You know? Oh, yeah. Against Andorra, he had a good game.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't look out of sorts in his...
Yeah. Don't know if you heard about Dudu Dan today lashing out.
We'll get to that in a second. Listen, the goalkeeper, of course, Daniel Peretz, gets his first start. Glaser was great. Great, okay? Yes, excellent. He's the number one goalie without a question right now.
And he will stay. He will stay the number one goalie.
100% number one goalie. But Daniel Peretz playing in his first game. You got to be impressed. I mean, and he hasn't played much for Bayern Munich. And it's good that they gave him the time, put him out there. Oscar Gluck was not great in these games.
No.
And I'm not going to put, I'm not putting blame on anybody. There were media outlets that were really ripping into him.
But there's no need. He's a youngster. He's had a tough season also. Not to forget that people speak about the players who didn't play. Maybe those who do play during the season in the league. And he's had this high-intensity Champions League games. And then afterwards to demand from him to be at his best also in the national team. Players have a limit, even if they're only 20 years old. So he did his best. I could not say that he didn't give his 100%. He gave 100%.
No, 100%. I agree.
And it happens.
It happens. The Roy Revivo, I thought, was good in the games that he played. Oh, of course, he had to be.
The ending up was too bad, but happens. It's football. Yeah.
But I thought he was he did not look out of place as one of the younger players. I thought he was fine. That was that. I mean, listen, again, Israel now is going to have to. Well, let's talk about Kartsev. He didn't get a second of game time, which you gotta give. If you call in these players and you have four games and the Andorra games,
at least 10 minutes against Andorra,
you throw him into the game. I mean, his agent Dudu Dahan went wild today. It's not a good look, especially when you have a player that's playing abroad. If you want to tell me he's an Israeli player that's playing in Israel, hasn't played much, you want to throw that to me? Okay, I know it's all right. I'll accept that. But he is playing abroad. I mean,
released, especially asked to be released from
his team,
from Başakşehir, from his team.
I mean, and that's a big team. He's not playing for a small team.
Yep.
He's not playing for a small team.
Exactly. Giving some time to play. Don't sit him out the whole time. And I don't think he's bad in the locker room, meaning it's unclear why. They're going to, of course, say professional reasons.
Yeah.
And now I guess he won't be called up again as punishment.
That's the end of him. That's the end of him. Roy, let's take a look now at the playoffs in March. They'll have a semifinal. The draw's coming up on Thursday. They're going to play either Ukraine or Iceland. Iceland has not been a very good team recently. That is no question.
We played them not so long ago.
Right. They have to pray. Israel has to pray that they draw Iceland for reasons that are obvious. I'm sure the balls will come up that they're going to end up playing Ukraine.
Of course.
And if they play Ukraine, I mean, they're basically done. I cannot see. And even if they make it by Ukraine, you're going to still have to play Finland
away
or Bosnia. And those are huge teams.
Ukraine will beat them. That's for sure. Well, meaning Ukraine will beat Bosnia or Finland away.
So here's the big question, Roe. The campaign's going to end. We're not going to go to another major tournament. Alon Hazan, Yossi Benayoun are going to be out. It's clear. They're both going to be gone. What do you do at that point?
You bring Barak Bachar. No, and without a technical director. That's what I'm going for.
You let him make
everything. That he's the boss.
Yeah, I have no problem with that.
At Maccabi Haifa, he can do it with the national team.
Now, I have no problem with that. I'd be very content to see that happen.
And he deserved it.
Yeah. Now, I hope it doesn't happen for his sake. Because that means he will be the head coach of Red Star Belgrade. So for his sake, I hope it doesn't happen. But it's looking towards that angle that it may happen. I mean, he's under a huge amount of pressure. If it's not Barak Bachar, who's your next choice?
A foreigner. Ran Ben Shimon, I don't think that he's so keen on the national team.
No, but he just took a job in Cyprus. Well, what foreigner right now is going to take the job? Somebody will take it.
Nobody.
Somebody will take it.
Wait. Paulo Sousa, think of it.
Yeah, he could take it.
Does the IFA have the
wherewithal to pay him? I don't know. It's a big salary. And he's not that good. He hasn't proven to be a top-notch national team coach.
Maccabi Tel Aviv, he had the best time.
For sure. When you look back at his coaching career, no question. He was best at Maccabi Tel Aviv. Now, Roy.
So is Aito Karanka available for the national team?
Yeah, those guys are available. I don't know how fast they're going to be coming back.
Is Peter Boss available?
He's also there. Maccabi Tel Aviv, let's shift gears to the Israeli League. Maccabi Tel Aviv plays Zorya Luhansk on Saturday, and then they play in Breda Blick
in Iceland in
the Conference League action. So they have two games coming up in a very short period here. It should be interesting to see what's going to happen. But my real injury, I think they're going to win both games. Actually,
yep, so do I.
I don't think there's going to be an issue. The question will be who's going to be on the flight back from Iceland to Israel.
Oh yeah,
is the head coach Robbie Keane and his staff going to be on that flight? And which foreigners will be on that flight back to Israel? That is my biggest question to you, Roy.
Yeah, we do not know anything yet. I somehow have a feeling Robbie Keane won't be on that flight. And once again, Maccabi Tel Aviv will have to search for a new coach in the middle of the season.
It's really unbelievable. It's like it always seems to happen. Now, I'm not going to go into my feelings about Robbie Keane. I did that last show a couple weeks ago that we did together. And I also mentioned it last week in the show. So everybody knows exactly where I stand with Robbie Keane. It's just unfortunate. The whole situation is unfortunate. They're going to have to go look for a new staff. And who's going to take the job? I mean, honestly, which foreign coach is going to take the job?
They're going to look for some Israeli.
And Ron Ben Shinom is not available.
No,
well, maybe Barak Bachar will be available.
But Barak Bachar, he will think twice, because if he wants the national team
he won't grab Maccabi Tel Aviv. So they're in. Exactly. Eyal Lachman's available.
Oh, okay. so is Avram Grant.
Yeah, Avram Grant. Well, so we're going to have to see what happens with Maccabi Tel Aviv. It should be interesting. Now, foreign players. It looks like a couple of players do not want to come back, really, from what I've been saying.
Ivan Masson.
He's not interested in coming back.
Yeah.
We'll have to see with the other players if they're going to return or not.
I'm sure that Savorit's coming back. Okay, that I have no doubt. But
now, Maccabi Haifa, they still don't have their foreigners that have agreed to come back.
And breaking news from the last hour: they won't be able to play in Serbia. Their last home game against.
That's
Turin.
Right. So they're going to have to find a new home for their game that's supposed to take place on Thursday night.
Budapest also. So yeah, they're nothing to worry about.
Yeah, that is a talk that they're going to go play in Budapest. Any final thoughts before we say goodbye?
That this week the league is coming back only with one game.
Yeah, who's playing that game?
Against Maccabi Haifa in game, which was supposed to be played in match day one.
Mm-hmm. They were, the league was supposed to come back with a full slate of games, and then they decided to push them.
The reason they pushed it back by 1 week is the fact that most foreign players are not here.
Right.
Their teams have everybody here, like Beitar Jerusalem. Almost everyone is here. They call them back, and Beitar just showing solidarity with Ashdod. That's why they're voting all the time against the return of the league and everything. We know the connection between Beitar and Ashdod, Barak Abramov, Jeky Ben Zaken, Moshe Chogeg, who supposedly has nothing to do with Beitar today. Jeky, who supposedly is not the owner of Ashdod. So,
right. They have nothing to do with the teams.
No.
Wow. Roy, where can people reach out to you?
People can reach out to me on Israel Sport, www.isport.co.il, on Twitter at Roy J, R-O-I-J-A-Y, and on Facebook and Instagram, Roy Jankelowitz, R-O-Y-J-A-N-K-E-L-O-W-I-T-Z.
And of course, me at The Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news, both in English and Hebrew. We deliver it to you in both languages. Roy, hopefully it will be quiet here in Israel. We know that we're on the cusp of a some of the hostages are going to be freed for some terrorists that were in Israeli jails. So we pray that goes as well as can be, and we'll see what happens going forward, but it should be interesting. And it was great to have you on board here today, Roy. Wish you and yours safe, and I guess, you know, Thanksgiving coming up as well. So we'll speak to you very soon.